The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. They are 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry Highway, and they are the place to go. General Manager Sean Sullivan, he is a friend of every single Bucks fan because he will simply do everything he possibly can to help you with your car experience, your truck experience at Bill Curry Ford, whether it's buying, service, repair, you just have questions, you want to get out of your lease, or you want an Ira Kaufman Joe Bucks fan discount, Sean Sullivan wants to help you. Go to BillCurryFord.com. You can click on About Us, and you can find Sean's email address and contact him directly. What other general manager across the Tampa Bay area is going to treat you like that? Bill Curry Ford is family-owned. They take that seriously. They treat you like family. BillCurryFord.com. Friends of Ira, friends of Joe Bucks fan, give them a try.
I think the Buck defense is pissed off.
Before you panic and call your insurance company, call Florida's Elite Restoration. As soon as you see any mold or any water that doesn't belong where it is in your home, Florida's Elite Restoration.com is the website. Their company, a great local company, is available for you 24/7, and they will come out and give you a free estimate as to what's going on before you go down the road of insurance companies and plumbers and all sorts of issues that can arise from that. They truly care. They completely understand the devastating losses that can come from mold, water, but also fire, wind, other disasters. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Buccaneers fans, here we are entering week six on a high note, a low note. I don't know what the heck it is, but we are here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County himself, Uncle Ira on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Sage, how are you on this fine Monday?
I'm still pissed off. I had a good time at Big Storm. Beer I really like. The barbecue platter is fantastic. And thank God Todd Wright showed up to hold my hand for the first half. What a terrible loss. Now look, it's not season ending. They're 3-2. That's fine. But, they damn sure should be 4-1. That's a better team than Chicago. I'm still not over it. Dumb football. I'm glad Scott Pioli said it, so you and I don't have to. Mr. Bruce Arians and your coaching staff, you got to coach better. Same poor mistakes, same poor technique. And if you don't like these players, go get better ones. But right now, the ones you're putting on the field, they're barely getting the job done. Lee, 4 days later, I'm still upset about that loss.
I don't blame you, Ira. That was, I'll be blunt. I'm sorry. I don't want to tick anybody off, but that was a pathetic effort. It reminded me of the Minnesota game a few years ago. The Bucks had beaten the Bears prior to going to Minnesota. Maybe they were 1-0, but everybody was picking them. That was your dark horse pick. They were a popular pick. They were coming off a 9-win season. They went to Minnesota, and they got pounded. I mean, physically pounded. Not so much the score, although the score did tell the story. They physically got beat up, and I sensed the same thing. They went to another NFC North team. They didn't get beat up like they did in Minnesota when just about everybody looked like they were a victim of alley beating. But they got beat up enough. They were the victim of a more physical team, and Vita Vea is an example of that. He, unfortunately, he's out for the year. So I'm just getting flashbacks at Minnesota. When the Bucks went up to Minnesota a couple of years ago and got pounded on like they did, they never recovered. I hope that's not the case here, but there's a whole lot of doubt creeping in my mind right now whether this is actually a playoff team or not.
Steve, I don't think you should give up a 13-0 lead against a punchless offense like the Bears, even if you're playing on the road in a short week. They didn't score a second-half touchdown. Yeah, Chicago's defense is decent. This ain't the 76 Steelers we're talking about, but it's decent. But 6 points, in the last 37 minutes, that's not winning football, and capped off by, Brady's brain fart that nobody wants to acknowledge, Steve. Nobody's ever said that it happened. We all know what happened. So, Steve, what's with all the alibis?
Well, Sage, let me grab something that Lee hit on, because it's really critical going forward as we assess what what the Bucks look like, and that's Vita Vea. Because down goes Vita Vea, broken leg, late in the game, and that's a huge blow to the run defense, which is not only the best in the league again this year, it's the best in the league by 1 yard per carry. I mean, significantly fantastic. 13 games in a row now, they've shut down the run. And I'm going to ask you, Ira, as you assess this team, Lee said, you know, he's questioning the playoff team possibilities now, just, you know, questioning it based on the performance. Does the loss of Vita Vea change your prediction for the season, Ira?
No. I mean, let's not go crazy here. We're not talking about Aaron Donald. A couple of weeks ago, I thought there were a couple of Buck fans that were suggesting that Vita Vea wasn't getting the job done, wasn't doing enough. I didn't agree with that. I didn't agree with it. I think he's a big, big part of that tremendous rushing defense, and it is fantastic. There's no question about it. Nobody runs on the Bucks. And it could show up, Lee, it could show up as early as Sunday. Green Bay's run game is very good. Aaron Jones is averaging over 5 yards a carry. He's very dangerous. You know, while Vea wasn't a massive presence as a pass rusher, and he never was going to be, Lee. He was never going to get more than 5 sacks a year, and that's okay. He had a job to do, and he was great at tying up blockers, and he was fairly disruptive and tremendously stout against the run. Look, Lee, every team's got injuries, and my point last week was that up until the Vita Vea injury, Lee, and I think it's a valid point, the Bucks did not have a long-term serious injury. Not a long-term. Now they do.
Well, the only Howard as well.
I wouldn't call that ultra-significant. I just would not. He had 2 touchdowns, no question about it, but that's what Gronk's here for. Gronk's supposed to be the primary guy, and it was good to see my man Brate step up, Lee. Maybe my prediction isn't that crazy, that Brate will benefit from Brady going forward. Word on the street is Brady wants to see more of Brate. Good for Brady. So do I.
Yeah, I'm not trying to go overboard here, but I was very, very disillusioned by that game series. I really was. If you're going to play like that, like you keep saying, Ira, I'm disillusioned with players who are supposed to be star players. We're invisible. I'm disappointed that the offense did not adjust. I'm disappointed that opening up the game, your primary receiver, your primary target was Tanner Hudson. I will take a covered Mike Evans over an open Tanner Hudson any day, every day. I'm sorry, I will. And the adjustment part, and please note who's saying the following. The Bucks pulled the plug on Ronald Jones, and their offense went to hell. They were getting good holes in the run game, and what did they do? They pulled the plug on him. And they never did, like you pointed out, Ira, they didn't score a touchdown. I thought that was shameful. The Bucks were struggling, they were sputtering, there's no doubt about it, but there was one guy that was producing. That guy's name was Ronald Jones, and you quit giving him the ball. Terrible. Terrible.
Speaking of Mr. Ronald Jones, Steve, and you were right, Steve, you never abandoned Ronald Jones, and Lee and I were a lot more skeptical. Steve, I think you'd have to say, Mr. Isbitz, that through 5 weeks, I think Ronald Jones has been their most consistent offensive player. I mean, am I wrong? Mike Evans has been up and down, Brady up and down. Godwin hasn't been around, nothing from Gronk. Ronald Jones has been their best offensive player, unless you want to pick an offensive lineman, and I don't, because Wirfs struggled a little bit the other night, and we know about the left tackle. So I think Ronald Jones gets my offensive MVP through 5 games, Steven.
Yeah, you could say that, Ira. I mean, he's at 4.85 yards per carry. He's on pace for 1,150 yards, and, you know, he can't catch, but I don't want to say it's an issue, but it certainly would make him more effective and more dangerous. But, yeah, he's played well. They haven't exactly missed Leonard Fournette not being in the lineup, and that is a positive. The penalties, Ira, drive me a little bit insane because they led the league in penalties last year. They've not been good with penalties going back years. And Arians has got this giant head coaching staff. Jason Light says they're an A+. It's a veteran roster. I haven't seen a roster this experienced in a long time. How many rookies are they starting on defense? 1. How many are on offense? Not a lot. So it's very messy, and I'm not sure how you fix that if you haven't figured out how to fix it now. And you know, if they can't fix it, it's going to be a problem.
Steve, there's no excuses here. That's why I said to Arians on the Zoom call Friday morning that I said, Coach, you had the look last night of a guy who is tired of saying Bucks beating Bucks. You're tired of it. Arians took the blame. He said, we got to coach better. And you know what? I don't think that was a cliche. I think he's right. I think they got to coach better. My problem, Lee, and check me if I'm wrong, but most of these penalties, they're not penalties of aggression. They're not penalties of physicality. They're stupid mental mistakes, Lee. And when you lead the league in penalties in 2019 and you come back in 2020 and nothing's changed, Lee, Buck fans are going out of their minds about an undisciplined, dumb football team. They play that way against Sunday. They're going to lose this game by 3 touchdowns.
I don't know how you could fix stupid midseason. That's the only thing. It basically comes down to either that or, as you suggested, Ira, and I don't know if this is the problem, that they're being coached a certain way, and the way they're being coached technique-wise is prone to penalties. So I'm going to go by being stupid, because if you look at the penalties by year, the Bucks for the past, you know, most of the last decade up till now have been a highly penalized team.
Yes.
And so I don't know. That could, to me, that's not technique necessarily. That's stupidity. But I'm sure it's going to make a lot of people mad at me saying this. So what is it? Is you're being coached up terribly or you're dumb? It's one or the other. You know what the snap is when you broke the huddle. If you didn't, then ask somebody.
Absolutely. And Steve, here's the irony, Steve. It was driving Brady crazy. The mistakes, he's not used to it. 20 years in Foxborough, Belichick's teams don't do that. Doesn't mean he never gets penalized in Foxborough, but they're always among the league leaders in minimal penalties. Just the way it is. Dungy's teams were very much the same in Tampa and Indy. Minimal penalties. Shula, famous for that, always led the league, fewest penalties. I mean, it's... After, you know, in a long body of work, it's not an outlier if it happens year after year. So here's the irony. It's driving Brady crazy. He goes to the sidelines. He's screaming his head off at anybody he can find. Get it together, guys. Get your head in the game. And then he makes a classic faux pas. That play didn't lose the Bucks the game. It didn't. There were too many bad plays before that. But you can go another 10 years and not see a quarterback lose track of downs in the fact that it was Tom Brady, Steve, that just doesn't happen.
Ira, let's go back to what you said initially. Tom Brady, the fourth down gaffe, nobody's taking blame, nobody's taking credit. Why does this upset you so much? Why do you feel somebody needs to come out, and what do you want them to say?
It upsets me because this is better than a 3-2 team. Lee, the Bucks have the same record as the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers haven't had their best player for 3 weeks. And when they have their best player, the Bucks are a better team anyway. They were kicking their ass, 21-0 at the half when they played Carolina. And now, all of a sudden, Carolina's 3-2 and the Bucks are 3-2. And Lee, let's not forget this. Through 5 weeks, the Bucks' schedule, it's been very favorable. Even the Saints, week 1. Maybe the Saints aren't as good as I thought they were. They're not playing particularly well. We'll see what happens Monday night. Lee, it upsets Buck Nation because they just lost the game they had no business losing. And if you're 4-1 with the Packers coming in, you know, you can afford to get beat by arguably a better team in Green Bay. I think the Packers are slight favorites on the road. They're averaging 37, 38 points. I mean, Aaron Rodgers having the time of his life. I've never seen him smile and laugh like this, and I thought Green Bay was going to have a lousy year. Boy, was I wrong.
He's having a time of his life till he gets a microphone in his face, and he whines about people like us. Calm down. You're getting paid how much money? Calm down.
But, Lee, at 3-2, you know, and if Green Bay takes care of business, which they very well could on Sunday, all of a sudden the Bucks are sitting 3-3 after 6 weeks. That doesn't sit well. Not when you're thinking it should be an 11-5 season, it doesn't.
Ira, why does it upset you that Tom Brady, and you keep saying nobody's taking credit for that fourth down, that screw-up? Why does that upset you?
Why can't Brady admit what happened? Is there a problem? Everybody knows what happened. Brady won't go there. Arians feels he's got an alibi for Tom Brady. It's one thing alibiing for Jameis Winston. Don't alibi for Tom Brady. Arians knew what was going on after that game. Brady could have said something after the game. I screwed up. Why can't he address it, Lee? I mean, what's going on? What's going on over there?
Who pined for Brady like a high school kid over a cheerleader than Arians did for Brady? Now, why is he going to throw the guy under the bus after he spent how many months in the offseason drooling over the guy, begging for him in a very highly public forum like the Combine with reporters surrounded him? I mean, he dreamed of getting Brady. He made no secrets he wanted Brady. So he's not going to throw the guy under the bus because he's basically throwing himself under the bus. And, of course, he's going to stick up for his players for the most part. Not always, but for the most part, especially Brady, you know, Mr. Six Rings. My issue about the you know, these guys are just dumb. I'll give Carlton Davis a pass because he's playing well enough that I think he you know, you take Carlton Davis out, I don't know if you're getting that good of a play, even though he's a penalty a game kind of guy. I'll take a penalty a game so long as he's holding guys to less than 100 yards, stud receiver to less than 100 yards. I'll take that. But when Donovan Smith's getting stupid penalties, then he's getting beat like a rag doll on top of it. Well, that's a whole different animal. That's a whole different animal. But I'll give Carlton Davis a pass. Others, not so much. And, you know, I love Ryan Jensen. But that headbutt, and people trying to make excuse for, oh, it wasn't that bad. No, he did it, period. I don't care if it's bad. I don't care if it's good. I don't care what. He did it, period. No conditions. He did it. You don't do that crap. The NFL is so focused, so hypersensitive about anything going to the head. I mean, if Jameis Winston did that, and he did do that, they killed the guy. I love Ryan Jensen, but that was idiotic what he did. You got to get a hold of yourself. You got to control yourself. And I don't want to hear any more of this, well, I got to get that warrior. I can't play better. We'll step aside then.
Hey, Steve, to answer your question directly about Arians and Brady, Arians lied Sunday night. He didn't have to lie.
Oh.
Arians lied and said he knew that it was fourth down. That's what Arians said. What Arians could have said was, I haven't had a chance to talk to Tom yet, so I don't want to comment on that play. So that's my point, Steve. You don't have to lie for Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. Say you're not sure, but don't lie for the man.
Ira, let me take you into the Glazer box for a moment. And here we are, the end of the first half. There's 36 seconds. Bucks have two timeouts in the bag. It's first down on the 25. They got Rob Gronkowski out there, and they've got Mike Evans and Scotty Miller on the field, and they hand off to Ronald Jones, and then they don't rush to the line of scrimmage, and Rob Gronkowski's looking around like, hey, are we going to hustle up here? And then they get off another play, and then they stop. Then they call timeout with 8 seconds left, and they don't really have what looks like a plan for the next play, and then they go into the halftime, and they were at the 40-yard line or so of their own 40. What do the Glazers think of when they look at that and they see the disorganization and they see an anemic offense of the Bears at the time, one that was so anemic that the Bucks were willing to go for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 19, and the Glazers, then they see this mess at the end of the first half. What are they thinking, and does that kind of little stuff sit with them?
Well, it could go to a bigger issue. Every NFL coach, they have different strengths and different weaknesses. For years, Andy Reid, the knock on Reid was that he was a lousy game manager. The poor clock management, the last 2 minutes of a half, last 2 minutes of a game. Some guys are brilliant at it. Some guys are not. I don't think that's the particular strength of Bruce Arians. Izbitz just gave Exhibit A. I don't think it's ever been a strength of Arians in particular. I think his strength is his relationship with his players, his honesty behind closed doors and in the locker room, not necessarily in front of the microphone, although once in a while he fills your notebook, Lee, which you appreciate. Clock management, it's a problem. And you know what, DeKemper? It's been a damn problem in Tampa for a long, long time. We haven't had a coach that's been on the screws in terms of time and clock management since I don't know when, Lee. It's been a long time.
Chucky seemed to be a pretty good clock manager from what I recall, but I could be wrong. Nothing's really glaring to me about Arians and clock manager. His decisions during crunch times, that's a different animal. Whether it be the Giants game when he pulled the old Father Dungy, let's go backwards and try to kick a field goal with a shaky kicker. That was pretty downright dumb. And I'll say it was downright dumb. It cost him a game. May have cost Jameis his job. That was downright dumb. That's number one. Number two, as Steve pointed out, wait a minute, you're going for fourth and one from your own 19, but then when you need a touchdown, it's fourth and one, and you go for the field goal. What? Well, help me out of here. I don't know the Glazers like you do, Ira, but if I'm the Glazers, what Steve said, what's going through their mind, what's going through my mind is these guys better hope they make the playoffs.
I want to talk about that fourth and one for a second. I was sitting there at Big Storm.
Which one, Ira? Which one? The first, which fourth and one? There was the fourth and one on their own 19. Okay, go ahead.
And they're winning the game, and it's fourth and one at their 19. I was so shocked, Kemper, I dropped the spare rib out of my mouth. It went right on the plate. Boom. And it bounced off and then knocked all the barbecue sauce out of my shirt. I turned to the great Todd Wright, who was sitting next to me, and I said, what the hell is Arians doing? And Wright said, he's going for it, Ira. You know, look, that play was successful. I thought it was a crazy call. I still think it's a crazy call because in the world of risk management and the pluses and minuses, Lee, what are you really gaining from it? Boy, you worried about the Bear offense? If you don't make it, they're in a chip shot field goal range for a team that can't move the ball, supposedly against your defense. Lee, I didn't understand it. I don't know if Arians has ever done anything like that before, but I sure don't want to see it again under the same circumstances.
Well, lucky for him they made it. Otherwise, he would be getting killed to this day on national shows, maybe killed for the rest of the year. There are some football coaches, Ira, this may shock you. And one of them, Belichick, brought him in to New England to discuss this, to pick his brain. I think he's a high school coach in Texas. There are some successful coaches out there that do not punt, period. Doesn't matter where the ball is. They will not punt. They believe a punt is a waste of a down. And I don't know if Arians decided to channel these guys, but then again, why didn't he channel the same guys? When the game was on the line, he could put the game away with a touchdown. That's what I can't figure out. It was a ball. It was more than a ballsy call. But my issue is, okay, you went for fourth and one on the 19. Why aren't you doing that in the fourth quarter when you had a chance to put the game away? That to me is the bigger question. But it's interesting. I know what you say, and me too. I were like, whoa, if you don't make it here, you're giving away points. But there are football coaches, successful ones, that are coaching to this day that do not punt, period. They think a punt is a waste of a down. They think a punt is giving a ball away. When it was gone, I'm thinking to myself, dude, you're crazy. I love you, but you're crazy.
Hey, do you remember a game from 6 or 7 years ago that Belichick was coaching against Peyton Manning?
At Indianapolis. Where are you going, Ira?
And on fourth down, with New England winning and a couple of minutes left, fourth and one, maybe from his own 35, instead of punting, he went for it. It might have been fourth and three, and he went for it, and they didn't make it. And Peyton Manning's team won the game. And people were screaming at Belichick, what are you doing? You punt the ball. And he said, no, it's Peyton Manning. I understand that, Lee. When it's Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, I understand it. Steve, this was Nicholas Foles, Mr. Isbitz. That's the part I don't understand.
Could it be, Ira, that Irons was thinking just that? Like, I'm giving up 3 points here. Hell with that. I can get that back.
Well, I don't know if you should think that because the Bears' defense is a lot better than the Bears' offense. So I don't think that way. And were you shocked by that play? Were you shocked?
Well, I look at fourth down and that it's always an individual situation. You always have to look at them one at a time. And yes, I was stunned. I thought it was absolutely stupid. And I was just like every other Bucks fan. I was happy as hell that they made it. So good for him. But later in the game, there was the other fourth and one. Lee was a little distressed that they didn't go for it there. And I was happy that they didn't go for it because they kicked the go-ahead field goal. And at that point, it was 19-17. And, right. You know, you give the ball to Nick Foles. They hadn't done that much. They'd done a little, but not that much. But then they couldn't stop him because Todd Bowles' defense got all soft. We saw the soft coverage. We saw Devin White, who can't play soft coverage and is just not very good, can't make a play. We saw Sean Murphy bunting play ridiculously soft coverage. He got confused on a big third and nine and didn't cover his guy in the zone and couldn't even close fast enough to make a play. We saw them throw to a running back out of the backfield, drop a ball in between three defenders. Again, Nick Foles, they couldn't handle, and they didn't blitz him like you thought they would might have. The defense lost the game, too. And the sad thing is, Jamel Dean played so well late in the fourth quarter, had three pass breakups, two chances for an interception, but he couldn't squeeze the ball. Either one would have ended the game, and we'd be celebrating today, but it didn't happen.
You know, Lee, here's a little bit of a problem that I think could manifest itself Sunday against Green Bay because Rodgers is great at it. Lee, they're having some problems defending the flat pass to the running backs. It's a problem now, and it was a problem in Chicago. And it was a problem against the Chargers.
Yep.
Even after Eckler left the game, Herbert was pretty good about dumping that ball off. And there's nobody around the running back, Lee, within 10 yards. I mean, you know, word gets around this league fast. Green Bay is very good at the screens. Aaron Jones is an excellent receiver out of the backfield. And people are finding, you know, the soft spots in that Bowles defense the last couple of weeks. I'm not saying Tampa Bay's defense was awful against Chicago. It wasn't. But it was pretty bad against the Chargers and not particularly good against the Bears considering the quality of the opponent. I think people are going to town on what Bowles has been doing, Lee, and he might have to make some adjustments.
I would hope so. Unfortunately, he made one too many adjustments with the Bears, as Steve suggested, and I went soft coverage, and they got ate up. It raised my eyebrow against the Chargers when, was it three undrafted free agents?
Yeah.
The only people they ever heard of them was their mother, come off the bench and burn the Bucks. Like, wait a minute here. Now, maybe they didn't expect them to do what they did as far as going deep, or maybe they didn't scout them or had no scouting report, which could have been because they're a bunch of no-names. Okay, that happens once in a while. Everybody's human. I get it. But when, you know, Nick Foles is starting to expose you, maybe this defense isn't as good as what we were thinking. That, to me, the Chargers game, that got my attention. When a bunch of no-name undrafted free agents was burning them. Like, ooh, I don't know about this.
And, Steve, you mentioned somebody, Steve, and it's worth us weighing in on a little bit because, Steve, when the guy was playing well, we praised him to the heavens. And when he doesn't show up, we got to point that out, too. Steve, Devin White's got to show up Sunday. He's been missing in action the last 2 weeks. I don't know where the heck he's been. I don't see him on the blitz. I don't see him in coverage. And,
Ira. He plays the same Steve. Game every week, Ira. He's elite against the run. He doesn't get there on the blitz, and he's kind of lost in pass coverage. He plays the same game every week, Ira. It just depends what the other team is going to do.
Steve, he had 15 tackles a couple of weeks ago. He had three tackles last week. Now, come on, Steve. Come on.
He plays the same game every week, Ira. You just watch him, turn it on, watch him. He plays the same game. It's just he's an elite run defender, and he's a nice tackler in the open field. That's about it.
Are you saying he can never improve his coverage skills, or are you saying that he leaves a lot to be desired there?
I'm not saying anybody can't never do anything, Ira, but he's a young player. He hasn't really gotten better in those areas. And I hope he does. But the blitzing part of it is a little bit disturbing considering how he was sold as a number 5 overall pick as a true pass rushing threat. I don't see it yet.
Well, Lee, I think you'd agree, Lee. He's got to play better than he's played the last two games.
I try not to say anything about Devin White because people accuse me of being a hater. I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
All right, Ira, listen,
I'll let the obvious speak for itself. They don't need me.
Ira, let me remind everyone, yeah. Ira, that your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years. As everybody heard in the opening, Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, he is just simply there for you whenever you need him. And Bill Curry Ford has that attitude from top to bottom in their business, whether it's the body shop, their award-winning service department, and, of course, at BillCurryFord.com and in person at the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And we also thank Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. As we heard, Ira, they are going to be at Big Storm next time out for the Raiders game, Sunday Night Football, buying everybody a beer. And all those details, the fine details, will be coming out. But that's who you call first if you have a disaster at your home. And Big Storm Beer, we can't say enough. Big Storm Beer, that's where you got to go to drink beer. All across Florida, many other states, go to BigStormBrewery.com to find the core beer or the specialty beer that you want to try and where you can find it in your neighborhood. Ira, you know, we can't freak out too much, but maybe we can. I don't know. They're 3-2. We'll see what New Orleans does tonight with the Chargers. I don't suspect they're going to have a big problem with the Chargers. But what I want to ask you, Ira, overall the defense, the second fewest number of yards allowed. So we're splitting hairs kind of in a good way, that they do a lot of good things, and maybe they got some bad calls. But I wanted to get your overall picture of the defense, including those calls and what you thought of them as far as, you know, was this a pretty good performance? Are we blowing it out of proportion? Where are we?
Lee, when you're up 13-0 against the Chicago Bears, you got to win that game. And they didn't. Plenty of culprits to go around. Plenty. You know, Brady wasn't great. They didn't score a second-half touchdown. But they didn't make the big stops, Lee. They had three different leads in that game, you know, including the 13-0 lead. Three different times they led the Chicago Bears, who had been waxed the week before by Indy, and couldn't come out of Soldier Field with a win. So I think the defense is a little wobbly right now. Lee, going into the Chargers game, I was very high, as most Buck fans were, about what Todd Bowles was doing. The blitz was effective. The pass rush was effective. The young secondary looked like it was, you know, coming on. Now they got to deal with the Vita Vea absence. People go to school in this league. And this Buck defense and this aggression by Bowles is now on tape. And Green Bay has an extra week to study it. And Rodgers is smart as a whip to begin with, Lee. And they're scoring a ton of points. I think the Buck defense is really looking down the barrel Sunday. And Devontae Adams is coming back for Green Bay.
It's the quarterback. It's, you know, if Foles did what he did, you would think Aaron Rodgers can really burn him. The glimmer of hope here is, and you know how much I hate that four-letter word, Aaron Rodgers generally struggles in warm weather sites, generally. And we shall see if that continues this Sunday. You know, what Steve was asking about with the officials, me personally, I can't blame officials. Unless it's a Don Dechinger thing or the pass interference, no call, the Saints and the Rams, I'm not one to harp on officials. I'm really not, because you know what? There's always another play. There's always another play and another play and another play. There's many chances to overcome penalties. To me, the weak teams and the lame teams are always blaming the referees. You know, like, oh, we can't win because of you. Well, no, the referees are not dropping balls. Not the referees are not missing tackles. The referees are not missing receivers. I can go on and on. Referees aren't missing blocks. I don't like blaming referees. Having said that, Shaq got hosed twice.
He did.
He got hosed twice. Now, I'm not going to say those two calls were the differences in the game, but he got hosed twice badly. I mean, that late hit on the quarterback, that was terrible. I mean, that was a split. I can't tell you how many times I saw quarterbacks get hit over the weekend, whether it was college or pros, and it wasn't even close to Shaq, what Shaq did. And there was no call. So Shaq got hosed. The offsides call, which I think was a third down, when he got drawn offsides and he missed that, that was terrible too. But if I remember right, both of those happened in the first half, maybe the third quarter. So there was plenty of time to overcome those penalties. Now, if you want to talk about and we did speak earlier about the stupidity of calls when they had a series of penalties on that one drive. Didn't they start on the Chicago side of the 50, and they wound up on their side of the 50 after so many? And that was terrible, but, you know, that's more stupidity than it was the referees. So I just can't personally. I know a lot of people, why can't you blame Ro? I just can't go there. I just
haven't said that, and I agree with Lee. Don't use it as a crutch, but we can point out that the officials had a bad night, I think, in the Windy City. They had a bad night, and that Shaq Barrett call, you know. Steve, I think it begs a bigger question. This is just me, but I don't know. This is not the NFL that I grew up with loving. It's just it's different. And
well, they got rid of the leather helmets, Ira, so it, you know.
You know, Steve, you've heard me and Lee say this, and you'd never weigh in on this, Steve, so I'm asking you to weigh in. But I think it's a problem in a league where every incompletion, you're looking, is there a flag on the field? I mean, it's constant. It's not once in a while. Every incompletion, you're looking for a flag, and that's not healthy for the NFL, Steve. I think the league's in a little bit of danger of going too far to try to pump up the offense. The points are at an all-time high, and they break the record every freaking year. Every year, it's a new record.
Well,
and
Ira, you tell me I don't weigh in on it because I don't really care. I mean, I enjoy football. The ratings are great. People love the game. I would do one thing if I were the NFL. I would tell receivers and defensive backs that they are no longer allowed to lobby or plea in any way with any gesture for a flag. Either it gets called or it doesn't. And that would be because what prompts you looking for their flag a lot of the time is the player popping up having a meltdown. And if they stop that, then the call is the call, and they can go to the replay if they decide to bring that back. But this year they took out the pass interference review. So I don't know. I don't really care that much about it. If you look at the game, I thought the Shaq call, I know you guys disagree, which is great. The Shaq call on the roughing the passer, Shaq left his feet and launched toward his head. He didn't hit him in the head. He came very close, but you can't do that. He didn't have to do it.
Is that what they called, though? Did they call it launching?
But he didn't have to do that.
Okay, I got to back up. I thought it was roughing the passer.
Yeah, it was roughing the passer.
It was roughing the passer.
So that's not launching.
No, but he did launch. And
you know, but he didn't get called for that.
But this all goes to how they make the call and what they see. You know, if you're trying to...
But they didn't call it launching. They called roughing the passer. And that's my issue. If they called launching, it's a different animal.
I don't know if there is a launching call anymore. I don't know if there still is a launching call.
I thought it was a bad call. And by the way, Steve, one of those guys that you want to stop from gesturing of trying to influence the ref is Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a prime suspect in that regard, Steve.
Yeah. He's been doing it since he got in the league, and he had another push-off call on him. Hope, yeah, that was a reputation of his earlier on, maybe 2015, 2016. Remember 2015, he had the year with a million drops, and then he shook that. But hopefully he's not getting a reputation for pushing off. But you know what? I wrote up this, Ira, and if you go back and look at the film, it's obvious. On Carlton Davis's interception, that was pass interference. They didn't call it. He got the bobble from Robinson, and away he went with a pick. And even Jamel Dean, when Jimmy Graham caught that ball one-handed, he caught it one-handed because Jamel Dean was holding the other hand. And so, I mean, they didn't call that either. I agree with Lee, unless it's so egregious, like that ridiculous offsides call on Shaq, which was a game changer, field position changer. But you're right, Ira, bad night for the officials all the way around. All right, Sage. Now, before we get out of here, I got to ask you quickly, Raheem Morris is now the head coach, the interim head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. We had talked about this during the game yesterday. I watched the Falcons game. Ugly, ugly, ugly mess-ups in that game by Atlanta. I tweeted out at halftime, we're strong bet we're 30 minutes away from Raheem Morris getting the job. Now he's got it. What do you think, Ira? And do you think he's got a shot to keep it?
I'm rooting for him. I don't want to speak for DeKemper, but I think Lee's kind of rooting for him too. Look, I still remember how much fun we had during that 2010 season. Nobody saw it coming. Youngest team in the league, not much talent, Freeman unproven at that point. and that was a fun team. Joel Glazer told me during the March meetings 2 months after that season ended that it was the most fun that ownership had had since the Super Bowl season. And they had won, they had made the playoffs twice in the interim span. So that's how much it meant to the Glazers for that team to win 10 games. Yeah, he was young. We'll see about the second time around. Hopefully he learned some things. I hated to see the way the team quit in 2011. That's a tough word, but I think it's apropos. They quit. They quit. They were not competitive down the stretch. I guess the Glazers felt they had no choice but to fire Raheem, and they didn't waste any time dismissing him. If I had to bet, Lee, I don't think he'll be coaching the Falcons in 2021 unless they go 10-1 or something down the stretch, and that's not going to happen. But I'm glad he's got another chance in the catbird seat. I think it came down to him and Cutter. He's been waiting longer. I think he's got a bigger upside than Cutter as a head coach. But there's going to be a big regime change in Atlanta. You know, Blank could jump on Eric Bieniemy. He's going to be the hot prospect. I think there'll be a new GM. But Rich McKay, I think, felt that he owed it to Raheem Morris to give him a shot. I'm going to root for him, Lee, but ultimately I don't think he's going to get the permanent job.
Well, up until this season, I was thinking, and I've said it, that I thought Raheem was getting a raw deal because, you know, he should be getting an interview. That I thought he did a decent job since he left the Bucks. Personally, he did not earn this promotion. What was the problem with the Falcons?
Defense.
What was he doing? He was coaching defense. He's defensive coordinator. And this is why I know Steve wrote on Twitter, you know, that's a good bet that Quinn gets fired. I'm like, and I'm not saying Quinn did a decent job. I'm not saying Quinn didn't deserve to get fired. I was like, what kind of option does Artie Blank have? Defense is the problem, so you're going to get rid of – you're going to promote the guy who was in charge of the lousy defense. And I likened it to a couple of years ago when the Bucks had an absolutely atrocious defense to firing Cutter and promoting Mike Smith. Wait a minute. The reason why they're losing is because of Mike Smith. What's going on here? So I didn't think Artie Blank had – he was doing a rock and a hard place. Cutter certainly was not going to fix the defense. And Raheem didn't earn a promotion. So unless they're going to go outside the organization, I didn't think Quinn was going to get fired because there was no option, no smart option, no good option, no earned option. Oh, real quick about penalties. Ira, this will get you going. If you believe penalties can be coached out, and I'm not saying you can't, and Ira, you and I have both talked about when's the last time Pittsburgh had a lousy offensive line? I certainly can't remember. They've always had a quality offensive line. Yesterday I was watching, thanks to the beauty of NFL Sunday Ticket, I was watching a lot of the Steelers-Eagles game. Yesterday the Steelers committed, now sit down for this, the first holding call all year.
Wow.
They actually went through three full games without a holding call from their offensive line.
Buck fans can only say, why not us? Why not us? Steve, my question to you is, do you give Raheem more than a 10% chance of securing this job on a long-term basis, Steve?
More than 10%, sure. And I disagree with Lee only because I've watched the Falcons games. The one loss was really special teams. The balance of talent on that roster is on the offensive side of the ball with two first-round picks and big names. I believe four former first-round picks on the offensive line and the quarterback and the receiving talent and Todd Gurley. Raheem doesn't have a ton to work with. He did work with it well last year, but I don't even know if we know what Quinn is really making him do or what. I don't know. I think if anybody earned it, he got the shot. And I'll give him, if he wins six games, Ira, if he wins six, I'll give him a 33% chance of keeping it.
Okay.
But tough sell. If nothing else, it should get him an interview somewhere. All right, Ira, get the folks out of here, and we've got plenty to talk about on your next podcast. We can dive into some more positives out of this game. Tyler Johnson coming on. But, of course, all eyes will be on where the Buccaneers' record stands after the Saints play and the big, big, big Packers showdown.
Steve, we are reminded once again, how the NFL, among all the leagues, are a week-to-week league. You lose a couple of baseball games, no big deal. A couple of hockey games, a couple of NBA games. So what? You got plenty of time to make it up. Lee, a week ago, we're all screaming, what a comeback. The Bucs are 3-1. They showed the resiliency against the Chargers, 17-point deficit. And here we are a week later lamenting the game that got away. They're 3-2. They're underdogs this week to be 3-3. That's how fast things can change. But, Lee, if they beat the Packers, that 4-2 start will look mighty impressive with a win against a quality opponent. That's why this game has particular meaning.